like I'm on. Probably doesn't matter a bit anyway. I don't think anybody has trouble hearing me. I preach for the hearing impaired, so. Amen. There we go. 2 Kings chapter 3. Man, I appreciate how the Lord's met with us. You know, one of the things that you try to do, not always successful, but you try to be real sensitive to when the Lord's moving. And, you know, this thing ain't about us. It's just not. And, but I do have, I've got one thought on my heart. And I want you to look at 2 Kings chapter number 3. I've got a little bit of a lengthy portion of scripture to read. And so I'm not going to have you stand tonight, but I want you to follow along with me. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. He departed not therefrom." Let me just say this. That's how a lot of us live our lives. We make surface improvements. Amen? He put away the image of Baal. That was a surface improvement. But there were still some things under the surface that he was content to leave there. One of the great dangers of being involved in a church like this is we learn what's acceptable and what's not, and so we put away those things we know aren't acceptable, but there are private areas of our life that nobody sees and nobody knows, and we've got stuff there that we know we need to deal with, but nobody knows it's there. We can pretty well keep it tamped down, and so we're content just to let those things remain under the surface. And really that's what had happened here as far as we read in the text. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheep master, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? And he said, I'll go up. I am as thou art. My people is thy people. My horses is thy horses." And I want you to get the picture here. Those of us that are old enough to work a job and pay taxes, we understand that revenue is the thing that makes government run. Amen? Start taking away revenue from the government, they get real upset about that. They send not nice men to your house. Amen? Amen. Am I right? They send threatening letters to your house. I'm not saying that I've experienced this personally. I just know folk. Amen? Listen, you don't pay your taxes. And here's what we've got. We've got a king. We've got the king of Moab who has made an agreement with the king of Israel, and he's paying an excise tax, as it were. He's paying a healthy sum. It says in verse number 4, 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. Now, I know we don't live in that day, but that's a pretty sizable amount. And so the king dies. Moab, the king of Moab, says, our deal's over. The problem is Israel had learned to expect and live on that revenue. And so now there's a shortfall. And so this king gathers several others to ally with him to go get that which he thinks belongs to him. Now, stay with me now. The Bible said in verse number 8, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. Now, I want you to stop and think with me a minute. They've not one time prayed. They've not one time sought the Lord. They've not asked God if this is what they're supposed to do. They've not asked God what they're doing all this in the energy of the flesh because they've got something coming to them. They think they've got something coming to them that has been withheld. Now let's get back to the text, verse number 9. And so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass 7 days' journey. It means they traveled seven. They were down in a valley. They're hoping to find some water for this great host that is traveling with them. Look at it. They fetched a compass 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. Now listen, you'd have thought somebody had thought about this before this time. Amen? Somebody said there's a rule of threes. You can go 3 weeks without food. I'd probably outlast most of y'all. You go 3 days without water. Go 3 minutes without air. They're already 7 days. There's been no water. They've been looking for it. They've been hoping to find some. Look what the Bible says, and the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. There's always that guy in the crowd. God just let us out here to whoop on us. Amen? They're in every church, on every deacon board. Amen? But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee the prophets of thy father and the prophets of thy mother. That's not a real diplomatic greeting for three people of political, amen, power. And he says, and the king of Israel said to him, nay, for the Lord hath called these, here's this guy again, the Lord hath called these kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee. Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Let me just say this, and I know I sound like I'm trying to herd a bunch of cats, but there's a point here that I'm making. But there's some points I'm going to make along the way while I get to the point I'm making. You've just seen the importance of music in a service. Amen? Listen, music has a purpose. It's not just a filler. It's not just to get us from the beginning of the service to the preaching and then to the end of the service. Music does something. I was just reading a study the other day, Brother Jeremy. I meant to mention it today when we were having conversation. I was just reading, and there has been a documented medical study that has concluded that an hour of singing a day has some unbelievable health benefits for people. Amen. Aren't you glad the Lord said, make a joyful noise? Some of us wouldn't be able to do that if he said it had to be on tune, on key and in tune and in harmony. Amen? I've always wanted to try to sing bass. I love quartet music. Good Southern Gospel quartet. I hope that's not a bad word around here. And so a lot of times I'll be driving down the road, Sister Grace, and I'll have my Beats headphones in. Now I'll be listening to a quartet, and I'll find the bass line, and I'll start singing. And pretty soon I'll see out of my peripheral vision from the passenger side of the motor coach just hand waving. And I'm like, what? And she'll say, stop, please. And I'll say, why? And she'll say, sounds awful. I was giving Georgie Ounce a run for his money right about then. And, amen. But verse number 16, and he said, this is Elisha. He's talking to kings now. He's talking to men of royalty. He's talking to men that, are you with me? He's talking to men that command servants. He says to these kings, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Can I just say this? We'll get there in just a moment, I think. But God could see what was ahead. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad? Y'all know that song, He Sees What We Don't? Y'all know that song? Good, because cue it up. I'm just telling you, I'm glad I've got a God that knows where I'm going even when I'm clueless. I'm glad I've got a God that can see where my path's going to take me even when I am absolutely clueless about what's happening. These kings think they're going to fight a battle. What they're really doing is they're walking into an ambush. They just don't know it yet. And it looks like to them, much like it looks like to us, why am I facing this hard time? Why am I having to deal with this difficulty? Why is this hardship come into my life? And all God's trying to do is get us to the point where we'll turn to Him and say, okay, Lord, obviously you and I aren't communicating like we should be or like we once did. And so God gives them a plan. He said, I want you to take that valley. Now I want you to think with me a minute. If you're going to find any water anywhere, it's going to be where? It's going to be in a valley. It ain't going to be up on a mountaintop. Water always finds the lowest point. Am I right? But there's been a drought. If you study out this text, there's been a drought. Listen, that ground, that valley is as hard and dry and barren and, amen, cracked. You ever tried digging in ground that hadn't seen water and has been tamped down and walked on? Amen. Let's pray just real quick a minute. Father, I need you to help me. Father, I want with all my heart to say exactly what you want me to say. Lord, I want to be a help and a blessing to these people, to this pastor. God, I want to honor you. And Father, I pray that God, you'd help us. God, to put ourselves in this story. And God, to see where we fit and what we need to do. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So he says to these kings, he says, make this valley full of ditches. Listen, I don't know how some of y'all that are younger grew up and what your parents told y'all. I'm 56, so people in my generation, our parents told us something like this: if you don't finish high school and get a good education, all you'll ever be is a... Am I right? Isn't that what they told us? Why? Why'd they say that? Because nobody wants to be a ditch digger. That in our day was the lowest, most menial task that there was. Now they might say if you don't get a good education, all you'll be is a burger flipper. They meant you'll have a McJob. Amen. But when we were growing up, Brother Reagan, that's what my parents told me. You don't finish high school, you don't get a good education, boy, all you'll ever be is a ditch digger. Nobody wants to be a ditch digger, especially three men that have ascended to the place of royalty, to the place of rulership, amen? It'd be like saying to that, who was that guy just got married to that gal from here in the States, over yonder in the country we had a fight with and won? Prince, what's his name? Harry. Amen? Be like telling him, go dig it. Listen, he got servants for that. He'd fetch some young men for that. He ain't going to callous his, he ain't going to blister his hands. Amen, grabbing a shovel. He ain't going to blister his hands out there under the hot sun digging a ditch. Listen, let me make an application real quick and then I'll be done. I do not know what you need from the Lord tonight. I don't know what the prayer of your heart is. I don't know what the burden you carry is. But I know this. I know when, before God answers our prayer, Before God lifts our burden, before God shows us his plan, we got to follow his directions. Amen? Listen, I do not know what ditches you need to dig in your valley. I said in the beginning of the text, amen, that king put away the image of Baal, but he left everything else, and that was all under the surface. And we're real good, aren't we, at moving dirt around, making it look like we're busy. But under the surface of our life is pride and jealousy and unforgiveness and bitterness. We remember everything that's ever been done to us, and we can't let it go. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm just bearing witness now. That's something I struggle with. And there's almost some kind of twisted sense of satisfaction I get when I think about that. And that kind of roils up in my gut. It's weird. Some of y'all are looking at me like, you're weird. Amen. Listen, we are all jacked up. Every one of us came into this place with a jacked up life. Amen. We all got jacked up experiences. Listen, that's why we're here. Amen. We ain't got money to go for therapy. Amen. So the pastor brought in Dr. Phil this week. Amen. Listen, I don't know. Listen, you might be like us. We still got a child that's out of church. Hadn't been in church since he was 17. He's 35. We got a 13-year-old grandson. The only time he goes to church is when Grandma and Papa are there and take him to church. That's a burden we carry. And listen, I can beat myself up. Amen. I made mistakes just like every other parent did. Amen. I did some things that I wished I hadn't done, but at the end of the day, beating up on myself, Jordan, don't fix the problem. Amen. Listen, I don't know what miracle. Listen, they needed a miracle. Would you agree? They've already been 7 days without water. They're smart enough to know, Brother Germ, they're not going very much farther. They're not going to see very much more sunrises and sunsets if something don't happen. And so they go, they find the man of God. By the way, they find the man God uses. Can I just say this? I heard somebody say this years ago. There are no great men of God. There are only men of a great God. Amen. And I'm telling you, listen, some of us have been around. This ain't our first night at the rodeo. We've seen some men whom we've revered, amen, and we have respected and we have looked up to and in some senses put on a pedestal in our life, and we've watched them jump off in some cases that pedestal into some horrendous things. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but listen, we all are prone to do some really stupid stuff. Amen. Listen, the fact of the matter is, there are no great men of God, but there are some men of a great God. And Elisha was a man of a great God, amen? And so they went to Elisha and they said, hey, there's somebody that'll tell us what to do. And so they go to Elisha, expecting Elisha to pray, and the heavens to open and the rain to fall. Elisha says, hey, you boys got some work to do first. He didn't say dig a ditch. Since he said, make this valley full of ditches. Now, I'm not a real smart guy, but I know this. I know that's going to involve some sweat. Kings ain't used to sweating. They're used to people fanning them and tossing grapes in their mouth. Amen. They got servants for that. But he didn't say, get your servants and have them dig ditches. He said, make the valley full of ditches. And he said, this is what he said. He said, you are not going to see the rain cloud while you're digging. You're not going to see the wind while you're digging. You're going to have to dig in faith. You're going to have to dig believing that if you are obedient to what God said, God's going to hear and God's going to answer. Now listen, I don't know what miracle you need from the Lord. I don't know what the heartache you carry, what the burden you carry is. But I'll tell you this, there's probably not going to come that miracle you need until you dig some things out of your life that God deals with you about. And see, in churches like this, it's not usually drunkenness and nakedness and gambling and amen. fornication and, amen, using illegal substances and, amen, lying and, amen. It's usually jealousy and pride and envy, bitterness. Amen. Unresolved conflict. Somebody hurt you and they didn't say they're sorry. We got this twisted idea that if they didn't ask for forgiveness, we don't have to forgive them. That's like drinking poison and pray. That's like me drinking poison and praying it kills Brother Evans. That's dumb. Amen. And so these kings are going to have to bust their backsides. Amen. They're going to have to dig. They're going to have to sweat. They're going to have to put some effort into some things. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this tonight? And I'm almost done. This is going to be a really, really fast message. And I said, the fact of the matter is, listen, they're in a valley. They can't get much lower, but they're supposed to dig. And can I say this? Preparation is essential because there's no miracle until the digging's done. And so you're going to have to dig out some selfishness and some self-centeredness. Some of you probably lived your entire life controlled by fear, paralyzed by fear. Amen? What's going to happen? How's this going to play out? Amen? The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, most of us don't want to dig. We don't want to, and if we're going to dig, we don't want to dig very deep. If you need a miracle tonight, I'm going to leave you with this thought. The depth of your ditch is going to determine the size of your miracle. I'm not a name it and claim it guy. That ain't how I roll. But I know this. If God has dealt with your heart about something, and you have put it off, and you've not dealt with that, and you've not faced it, and you've not, amen, given it to the Lord, you got some digging to do in your valley. And He's not going to let you see that the answer's coming until the work is done. And so I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm done.